The scripture reading this morning is John chapter 5, the verses 31 through 47. John chapter 5, the verses 31 through 47. And these verses form also the text for the sermon of this morning. You know, in John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus has just healed that crippled man at Bethesda. And then because of that, there is a discussion with the Jews. The Lord Jesus has first explained to them that he is divine, that he comes from the Father. And now he continues his discourse in John 5, verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? So far the reading of God's holy word, and also the words of our text. Beloved congregation, unbelief is awful. It was because of unbelief that the Israelites, many of them, never arrived in Canaan. They had seen the miracles of the Lord, the manna, water from the rock. They had experienced that their clothes did not wear away for 40 years. They had seen how the Egyptians had been conquered by God himself. And they went through the Red Sea on dry ground, these Israelites. And yet, many of them did not trust, believe God. They murmured and complained. In the days of the Lord Jesus were the scribes and the Pharisees. And they knew the Old Testament by heart. They could recite many portions, but they are also filled with unbelief. They don't even want to recognize or pay attention to the miracles the Lord Jesus has done. They are filled with rank enmity. They realize that they are called to resign to the authority of the Lord Jesus, and they refuse to do that. Instead, they criticize the Lord Jesus because he has transgressed their Sabbath day laws by healing a crippled man on the Sabbath and telling him also to roll up his mat and go home and take the mat with him. Well, that was violating the Sabbath day rules. And that's why they wanted to kill him. That's how awful their unbelief was. But on top of that, when the Lord Jesus explains to them why he did that, because he works on the Sabbath day doing good, because my Father in heaven also works on the Sabbath day, upholding and maintaining life and his creation. Well, then the Jews became even angrier still, because the Lord Jesus was making himself equal to God. And so the Lord Jesus explained to them why he and the Father are one. We saw that last week. A bit of a difficult sermon, because those are deep matters that we cannot understand. How the Father and the Son are one. But now the Lord Jesus continues on to explain to them even more why they are so at enmity with him. And now the Lord Jesus is going to accuse these Jews. And he does that because of their unbelief and because of their unwillingness. So the Lord Jesus is providing clear instruction. He is showing that his testimony is true, that the Lord Jesus is no deceiver because he comes from God. And the Lord Jesus supports what he is saying by the signs. He gives clear signs. Nothing strange or fishy about it or deceptive. No, this is a clear fact that a man who was 38 years crippled all of a sudden rises up and walks briskly with his mat underneath his arm. There's no mental influence or something suggestive. No, this is a clear miracle. And the Lord Jesus is going to do more, like raising the dead and cleansing lepers, etc., etc. The Lord Jesus gives true, real miracles. But the Jews don't want to look at that, because they are so caught up in their own way of worship and in their own way of self-righteousness that they accuse the Lord Jesus. And they say, you witness about yourself. And that's why that your witness is not true. Anyone can say anything of himself. And that's what you are doing now. But the Lord Jesus explains that he is the truth. But then he accommodates himself to these views of the Jews. And that's why the Lord Jesus says in verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. That's what you Jews say of me, and I'm willing to go along with that. Let's say then, if I witness of myself, that my witness is not true. It is true, because the Lord Jesus is the truth. But he goes along with these Jews. And then he refers to another witness. The Jews want others to witness of the Lord Jesus. Well, there is someone who witnesses of me. And you know that very well. He's referring to John the Baptist. John the Baptist testified of him. That's why the Lord Jesus says in verse 32, there is an other that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. John the Baptist witnessed clearly of the Lord Jesus. Said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. The Jews knew what John the Baptist had said. Because of verse 33, ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But then the Lord Jesus goes one step further and says, I don't even need the testimony of men, In verse 34, I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. I don't need testimonies of other men. But what I'm telling you is that you would be saved by what I'm saying to you. And so the Lord Jesus says he is independent of men, that he has another witness. Because he says of John the Baptist in verse 35, he was a burning and a shining light. Ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. John the Baptist was the herald. John the Baptist testified of the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus says, I have another testimony, a far greater witness than that of John. And that is the works that the Father gave me to do. The signs I'm giving you, the works I do, they testify of me. Verse 36, I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. All these signs, these miracles, this work that I'm called to do, they witness that I am from God the Father. That's why I healed that 38 crippled man. So that it would be clear that the Lord Jesus has come from God, that he is the truth, and that he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. But then the Lord Jesus goes one step further still. You want a witness? Well, there's another witness. And that's the most important witness. That's the witness of God himself, God the Father. Verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. God the Father witnessed several times from heaven with an audible voice, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That happened at the baptism of the Lord Jesus. And there were many people there who heard that voice from heaven proclaiming. And that's why the Lord Jesus says to these Jews in verse 37, and the Father himself, which sent me, he bore witness of me. And then we can think even of another witness. It's not mentioned here. It is mentioned in other portions of Scripture. Another witness why the Lord Jesus is the truth, and that is the internal witness of the Holy Spirit in the heart. That God the Father witnesses through the Holy Spirit in the heart of people. That these words are true. Think of 1 John 5 verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. That's what we call the internal witness of God, the Holy Spirit. That as you read Scripture, you know this is true. It comes with power into your heart, and you must realize this is not an ordinary book. These words are a rendition of the truth. That's a witness of God, the Holy Spirit, in the heart. The Belgic Confession speaks about that. That why do we believe the Word of God? Not because the Church says it, but because God, the Holy Spirit, witnesses in our heart. That these Scriptures come from God, that even the very blind can see that the things portrayed and prophesied therein are coming to fulfillment. And then besides this, there's still another witness. Still another witness. And that is the Old Testament. There God already witnessed that Christ is the Son of God. That God would send His Son into this world to lay down His life, to be raised again from the dead, and to ascend into glory. And that sinners will be saved from all nations. It's all prophesied in the Old Testament. Well, congregation, what a patience the Lord Jesus displays in instructing these Jews. And what patience the Lord has in instructing you and me every day again. As we read Scripture, the Lord instructs us and speaks to us. We read about the witness of John the Baptist, that prophet who was there in Israel proclaiming God's word. We, as it were, see the miracles the Lord Jesus is doing, portrayed in the gospel. And when you read God's word, you know this is not the newspaper, but these words have power. The Spirit witnesses in your heart. And then you have the whole of the Old Testament, and the more you dig in the Old Testament, the more you find Christ therein. That Christ is the only Savior. Well, the Jews read the Old Testament, but they did not believe that witness. And therefore the Lord Jesus says in verse 37, the Father Himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me in the Old Testament. Ye have neither heard His voice at any time, nor have you seen His shape. You never recognized that God the Father is speaking to you. You don't pay attention to it because you're full of unbelief. And by unbelief, they blocked off the word of God. And that's why Jesus says in verse 38, ye have not His word abiding in you. For whom He hath sent, him ye believe not. They did not keep God's word in their heart, because they didn't believe the Scriptures. They looked at the Scriptures as a means to work their own righteousness. They didn't listen to the message of the Scriptures. It was for them a whole list of do's and don'ts. And if you do that, you can earn righteousness. And you can lift up your head and you will receive your just reward. There was no grace. There was no joy. There was no amazement. It was just work. And there was no faith. And they didn't pay attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. God's word was in their hands. They would read it, but it was not in their hearts. God's word was shining upon them, but not in their souls. In congregation, as we read this, would those kind of people, would they no longer exist? People who take the word of God and read it even, and but they don't really bow for it, they do not submit to it. Have those people died out? I don't think so. They are still present. But you know the histories of the Old Testament. You know the miracles God did. Maybe you've even seen certain ways how God leads lives of people in your own environment. that you've seen His work, but that you don't recognize it, and you don't want to recognize it. You want to keep God's word at arm's length. Well, the Jews did that because they had a hardened heart. And that can still be the case, that we have a hardened heart, that we refuse to accept the authority of Scripture. And these Jews, they believed that if they would lead an honest and a pure and a righteous life, God will accept them. There's so many people today. Well, I've done well to my neighbor. I never got involved with the police. I'm a civil person. I really did nothing wrong. I'm quite good, actually. Well, if I leave this life, it will be fine with me, because I did good. Just as the Jews reasoned, I did good. Here were the Jews, the Lord Jesus is referring them to the Old Testament, to Moses, to the sacrificial service of the Old Testament. Moses had instituted that, and that pointed to Christ, but they didn't see it. They didn't see that they needed a sacrifice for their sins, that they have no righteousness, that there is none righteous, no, not one, that all have gone astray, that all our good works are unclean rags fit to be thrown out. That's all what the Old Testament spoke to them. But they didn't believe it. They didn't pay attention to it. And Moses pointed out the seed of the woman, and that was going to be the seed of Abraham. And later on, the Savior would come from the line of David. So the Old Testament and Moses testified of the Lord Jesus, and that there would also be another prophet just like Moses, and him you should hear. Moses had said to the people, a prophet just like Moses, and you know why that was. Because Moses was a mediator. And a mediator receives direct revelation. It would speak to God and God would answer. And then Moses would speak to the people. He had direct revelation from face to face. And that other prophet who will be just like him is not Elijah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, but it's the Lord Jesus. Because he also spoke to his Father face to face. He received revelations. He's the mediator of the New Testament. So Moses was continually referring to Christ, but the Jews did not want to accept it. They were proud. They were high-minded, harsh. And why? Well, why was that? Because they had no love for God. They shut their lives off for God. In verse 42, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. That's an accusation. But can they help it? They don't have the love of God. God has to give that. If God doesn't give that, well, they can't help it. Wrong. They should listen. If they listen, and they see how God had dealt in the Old Testament, then there's one overarching principle, that God is good, and that God is just, loving, merciful, full of loving kindness and compassion. They should have caught on. And that's why the Lord Jesus is accusing them, ye have not the love of God in you. Have you caught on? You know the accounts of the Old Testament. You know Psalm 103. Gracious is the Lord and merciful, full of long suffering. You know how the Lord revealed himself to Moses on that mount with the same words, the Lord God, gracious, merciful, full of loving kindness, long suffering. That is how God is. Patient, loving. It may be our problem that we chase after so many things, but that we don't pursue God, that we don't seek to know the Lord, that we want to enjoy this temporary life. Maybe we're desirous for the honor of the world and to have a what we call a successful life, a life of prosperity. But if there's no longing for God, if there's no love to God, that's terrible. For all things you have did not come from yourself, it came from God. There are other people who are much smarter than you, much more diligent than you. They have very, very little. Because they are in another time, another age, and other circumstances. It's God who gives you every blessing of daily life. He daily loads us with His benefits. It's terrible if we do not catch on, if we do not love Him, if the love to the Father is not in us. Therefore, we should bow our knees and ask Him, Lord, teach me to love Thee with everything I have. And that's a prayer you should lift up to the Lord your lifelong. You never outgrow that prayer. You don't and I don't. Teach me to love Thee, because the Lord is good. And our awful nature is to resist God, to go against the Lord, and not to love Him. And that's how it was with these Jews. And these Jews are most willing to follow people, but not Christ. And we also can be enthralled with certain political leaders or certain people we have as a role model. The Lord Jesus says that in verse 43, I am come in my Father's name. That was clear by the works He did. And ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. If someone else comes and claims all kinds of things, that he is a very great person and he is quite eloquent, they will follow him. That happened. There was in those days, a bit later, there was one very strong example. Was a Jew, his name was called Bar Kokhba. He led a revolt against the Romans in the year 132. You understand, in the year 70, then Vespasian and Titus, they came into the land of Israel and they ransacked the whole land and ruined, burned the temple and destroyed Jerusalem and so on. Took many Jews away. But there were still Jews living there. They were allowed to live there. And those Jews somehow rallied together 60 years after that in the year 132. And they followed a man, Bar Kokhba. And Bar Kokhba was called by the most famous rabbi in those days, Rabbi Akiba. He called Bar Kokhba, he is the star that would rise up from Jacob. Referring to Balaam's prophecy from Numbers 24. In other words, he is the Messiah. And they all followed him. And that led to a terrible bloodbath. And then the Jews had to leave Israel. Jerusalem was completely leveled and given a Roman name, Neocapitoliana, and they were forbidden to enter Jerusalem. And that's all because they followed a man. And for the first 400 years, no Jew entered Jerusalem. They followed someone who came in his own name. But Christ, who came on behalf of God the Father, they did not follow. How can ye believe? Verse 44. You who receive honor one of another, and you seek not the honor that cometh from God only. What is that honor that comes from God? What is the greatest honor that a human being can receive? That is to be adopted, to be a child of God. That's your greatest honor. Maybe you're a very simple person. Your name is never in the newspaper or whatever. But if you are a child of God, you may be living alone in an old age home. People may not even be concerned about you. But if you are a child of God, you have the greatest honor possible. The honor that comes from God. And that's everlastingly much more important than the honor that comes from people, from men. And so these Pharisees, they sought honor of men, but not from God. What's your drive? Do you want to be seen of men? Do you want to be popular? Do you want to be the best? Honored by men? That's not important. What's important is that when you are alone on your knees before the Lord and you're seeking His salvation and no one's watching, no one's listening, only the angels and God. And there you are adopted to be a child of God. And you know, I am His and He is mine. That is the richest blessing, the greatest honor. It's everlasting life, and it will stay with you through life. And at His time, He will translate you into glory to be with Him. Well, we focus upon unbelief. And now we'll focus upon the unwillingness. Because why was it that those Jews did not want to believe? And did not want to accept the Lord Jesus? And why did they seek the honor of men but not the honor of God? And why did they follow someone who came in His own name, but they would not follow the Lord Jesus who came in the name of His Father and proved it? Why was it? It was because they were unwilling. That's it. I don't want to. Period. That's the end of the discussion. What a child wants. Some parents say he must get. What do you want to eat? Choice is king. Our choice. Pro-choice. And that gives me the right to murder my own child and to rip it apart from the mother's womb. Because my choice, that's number one. The whole world is governed by king choice. Me, I, myself, that's the final say. What I want is what I'll do. These Jews were unwilling. They had received so many witnesses, had received such glorious signs, but they didn't want to listen. If you look at what was happening, the preaching of the Lord Jesus, that was not complicated. Come unto me, I will give you rest. It was not complicated. He did not lay all kinds of demands upon the people. If you want to come to me, if you want to have salvation, you first have to follow a course in theology, or you first have to withdraw yourself and live alone as a hermit, or you first have to chastise yourself with whips because of your terrible sins, and then you can come to me. Nothing of that. It was not complicated. It was very simple. No demands, no rigorous, high demands. The Lord Jesus never laid burdens upon the people. So, the preaching of the Lord Jesus was very clear. It was not burdensome. Because if it would have been burdensome, if they had to go through all kinds of rigorous self-chastisement, yeah, that could be a reason why people wouldn't come. Oh, it's so hard. Follow a course in theology. I don't understand it. That's what I have to do before the Lord Jesus will receive me. But that's not the case at all. So it's not that people didn't come because of burdens the Lord laid upon them. He laid no burdens. And besides that, the Lord Jesus didn't leave them in uncertainty. The Lord Jesus gave them sure promises that He would receive them. Seek and you shall find. Ask, it shall be given to you. He never cast out those who came to Him. He never sent a sick person home, you're not worthy. No, none of that. He gave them many promises. He gave them gracious gospel invitations. But still they did not come. And the Lord Jesus also offered them not something insignificant, not, let's say, healing from a cold or something, or that you have a good harvest and that's it. Insignificant things, really. But He gave them, He offered them the very, very best. It was so beautiful, so glorious, they didn't even understand it, how wonderful it was. Salvation, everlasting life, to be with the Father in heaven, full forgiveness of all their sins, a new life of devotion, filled with the Holy Spirit, rest in their lives, deliverance from a burdened conscience, delivered from the slavery and the dominion to sin and to the devil, being saved from everlasting hellfire, and to be given everlasting glory with the Father in heaven, and that He would live in their hearts, and they would experience that the Lord is with me, I shall not fear. The Lord Jesus offered them the richest benefits. And they did not come. In His preaching, the Lord may laid no burdens upon them. He's most willing to receive them, gospel invitations. And He gave them the promise and the very best. But they didn't come because of their unwillingness. Verse 40, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And now we are at the nerve ending. Now we're at the core of the whole situation. Why? Why did they not come? Ye will not come to me. That's their problem. Unwilling. Obstacle of their will. And they had lots of opportunity to come. It wasn't that the Lord Jesus came once for 15 minutes and explained them some things and went away again. No. He was there for years. proclaiming the truth. They had the opportunity to come. They had the evidence that he was the Savior. The Lord Jesus never asked anything complicated from them. He promised he would receive them. He came with the richest blessings and benefits, and they still did not come. Why not? Because of their unwillingness. You know what it is, unwillingness? It's idolatry. Well, I don't worship idols. Yes, you do. You worship yourself. King me. I'll do things my way. Unwilling. That's idolatry. That's looking at myself. It's my free choice. Man is a slave of his own will. And man is dead in sins and trespasses. And likewise his will gravitates to that which is sinful and evil. And if God does not stop our unwillingness, we will all perish in hell. And the devil stimulates us, and our own nature stimulates us to resist God and to reject Christ. They are slaves of their own will. Until it's too late. And then they open their eyes in the flames of hell. And then they realized they did it like the devil wanted them to do, by rebelling against God. And then the devil will whisper to them, "You did it my way. And now it's too late." Our unwillingness. Jeremiah speaks about that in Jeremiah 2 verse 13. "That my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Maybe you have a cistern underneath your house. If that cistern has a hole in it at the bottom, it won't contain any water. And you can get the water truck in. They can pour all the water in you want. It'll just run out into the soil. That's human life. Without Christ. You're trying to drink from broken cisterns, a broken cup, while the fountains of living waters are opened up to you. Life outside of Christ is a barren wilderness. Instead of seeking Christ, people seek the world. But the world can only give us that which is fake. The Jews could receive living manna coming from heaven, the Lord Jesus. But instead they wanted to feed themselves on the dust and ashes of this world. And that's the tragic reality. Our unwillingness. And that's why you, my friend, you cannot believe in Christ. You who are still unconverted, because you will not come to Him. It's because of your unwillingness. You're not a victim. You are a perpetrator. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying here. And the Lord Jesus reveals himself through his word. And then reading the scriptures, you will see your own unwillingness. reading the scriptures, you will see that they testify of him. Verse 39, search the scriptures, for they testify of me. Imagine the Lord Jesus saying that to these scribes and Pharisees who knew the Old Testament by heart. Search the scriptures. They have never read. They knew the words, but it never dawned upon them. They didn't search the scriptures. Young people, it is such a blessed matter if you take the time to search the scriptures and you tell nobody about it, not even your mom and dad. In your bedroom, you read carefully the scriptures, the gospels, and you will find Christ. You will find Christ. Search the scriptures. And then you bow your knees and you cry out to him. Because outside of Christ, we are lost. And go to Christ. He won't cast you out. He doesn't give you all kinds of conditions you have to fulfill. Come as you are. With everything that's wrong, when you go to a doctor, the doctor doesn't say, well, first you have to make sure you're a bit healthier, and then I will talk to you. What nonsense is that? You go exactly as you are, and you let the doctor draw up the diagnosis, and he will give what is needed. That's how it is with the Lord too. You can come the way you are and drop down at his feet. And say, Lord, I'm an unwilling rascal. I am the cause. Not thee. Not my upbringing. It's my fault. Because I did it my way. And you confess that. And you go to Christ. Because he has power to deliver. And he will deliver. He will uncover to our unwillingness and that we give it up. That we surrender. We give up our rebellion. And that we see Christ rising up from the scriptures. And therefore, don't stay any longer at a distance from Christ, but come as close as you can. While he proffers peace and pardon, let us hear his voice today, lest if we our heart should harden, we should perish in the way. Amen. Most glorious Lord in heaven, we humbly thank thee for thy self-revelation in the Lord Jesus Christ and for the clear testimonies of John the Baptist, of the signs the Lord Jesus gave, of the empty grave in Israel, of the testimony that thou, Lord God, hast spoken from heaven, and for the testimony of the Old Testament, all referring to Christ. Lord, we confess our unwillingness. O, we pray thee, be merciful to us and give us grace that we would flee to thee, that we would live with thee, that our lives would be hid with Christ in God. Lord, wilt thou bring this message to the hearts, that could it be that some would be translated from darkness to light. Bless thy word, we pray, for thou dost not refuse the petitions and the desires of thy people. And therefore, as a congregation, we pray for thy favor upon us. for thy reviving work in our midst. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.